Please be seated.
Dear Jesus, when we think we are weak and inconsequential, you come to us with a commission. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our Lord, who gives us the ministry of reconciliation. Good morning. Have you ever done something where, you know, you've really stuffed up and you think, oh my goodness, you know, I wish I could backtrack that. I wish I could go back and start again. It must have been what the disciples were feeling back in that upper room. But before I spell that out, I want to ask you a couple of questions. A couple of simple questions, but profound in them. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God forgives you? Do you know, now this is an interesting one, that God trusts in you? Do you know that God believes in you? And do you know that God values you more than jewels? And if we read our Bible, we find that God is affirming that to us all the way through. The reason why I'm actually sharing this and asking those questions is because in that upper room, the disciples were pretty shaken up. But this reading today affirms how God sees us and of his action toward us. The fact is, God thinks more of us than we do of ourselves. Pretty awesome, isn't it? He values us far more. And that he believes in us and knows more about us and our attributes for him. What is more is that God is willing to trust us with his mission of reconciliation in the world. In this reading, God is saying, come with me. I have an awesome job for you to do. Now you might say, just wait a minute, where does this reading say that? So I'll start with the disciples. You see, they had promised to stand with Jesus even in the face of death. But they all abandoned Jesus. And he told them as much. But Peter even denied knowing him, and he did that vehemently. Disciples had regrouped, and they were very much afraid of what the Jewish authorities might do to them now. Now here's an interesting fact. When Rome tried to invade England, they failed twice, and that was in 55 BC. But one of the ways they overcame the people was to kill their religious leaders. And the people scattered and were divided, and so they became subjugated. You would think that a small group of Jesus' disciples, which was about 150 that had regathered, under such oppression, would simply dissipate into oblivion. The fact is, Jesus had not set up any institution or religious traditions. He had offsided all the religious organizations to the point of aggression. In fact, looking at formulas of forming an organization, we would think his style of establishing a formidable movement was the most flawed system anyone could apply. It certainly shows he had no training in community management or done any social analysis studies. Now he got himself killed and everything points to failure. Isn't God marvellous? Isn't God marvellous that he does things his way, not our way? So we are only looking from a human point of view, and so were the disciples. But then Jesus comes and is standing amongst them, He's no ordinary guy. Jesus is divine. And they are afraid and they're hiding and they have no idea what will happen next. And there were doubts, and most probably a deep sense of shame and guilt that they had abandoned Jesus. Then suddenly he's in the room amongst them. And he says, "Peace be with you." Meaning, let not your hearts be troubled. Then after showing them his wounds, he says again, "Peace be with you." And this time, an assurance to them that indeed God was with them. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says something that seems out of context. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And you can almost hear some of the disciples thinking, what, out there where it's dangerous? Next, he tells them to take the ministry of reconciliation to all the world. Jesus died so the sins of the world would be forgiven. Now the disciples would be his ambassadors of forgiveness. And just think about this. Jesus had been abandoned by the disciples. He comes back. He comes to them. He reassures them. He shows them that there's no hard feelings, which is actually part of his forgiveness for us. How often do we feel so inadequate because we feel we just don't meet the mark? We don't, you know, the benchmark's up here and we're never going to get there. And these guys certainly had felt that they were such failures. They were really on a roll with Jesus until the crucifixion. And then everything was like the whole carpet had pulled out from under them. They were really devastated. And yet Jesus appears to them and he shows them that he loves them, that he cares about them, that he forgives them. And he does the same with us. And he calls us too, to do as the Father had done. And then he takes them and he talks about the ministry of forgiveness. You see, the disciples needed to know that they were forgiven. They were loved. And then it was only until then that they could take that ministry of forgiveness to others. It's only when you know that you're forgiven, especially from our Father in heaven, that we can share that with others. And you might be thinking, you know, but that was for the disciples. You know, Jesus was just giving that commission just to the disciples. They're the apostles. They're the big ones. We're just down here now, way down the track. I want to read you something. It's in John 17. And it's actually in the upper room before the disciples and Jesus go to the Garden of Gethsemane and the Mount of Olives. And just before they go, he prays this prayer. And this is part of it. "As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, so that they too may be sanctified in the truth. I'm not asking on my behalf. I am not asking on behalf of them alone, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their message." Who's that? Us? We are the ones that have come to believe through their message, that all of them may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me." It's a pretty awesome package. that they may be perfectly united, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me." You know, with the disciples after that, nothing really awesome happened. There was no great movement that really started. And they waited for 50 days until Pentecost. And it was when Pentecost happened that they began to speak out and began to talk about who Jesus was. You see, the Holy Spirit bit, when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," that part is God equipping us, opening our eyes to see that unfathomable love that he has for us, the life of forgiveness that we now live and share and take to others, God's forgiveness. So what happened, though, was that the Holy Spirit opened their eyes and the disciples, and they began to see what God saw in them. You see, so often we sort of go, "Well, I'm down here and God's up there and that's where it is." But God thinks you're awesome. Can I say that again? God thinks you're awesome. So much so, he's invested in you, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you, guide you, show you all things that are from God. And the Bible confirms those things which the Holy Spirit speaks in our heart. And what we can bring to others is far more powerful. That love, that forgiveness can change lives dramatically. Some of us have seen and experienced that, experienced it in our own lives and experienced that by sharing with others who Jesus is. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Where love and forgiveness can bring a dynamic change beyond the imagination to individuals, I must say, through history, even countries and civilizations. I'm a part of this and so are you, because this is what God has planned us to be. It is there written in black and white that confirms what is written in our hearts. Let us look upon Jesus' wounds and let us breathe in the Holy Spirit. Let us let God take us into his unstoppable world, the world of his amazing forgiveness that we can now share and bring to others. The ministry, that Paul says, of reconciliation. I'll pray. Dear Father, thank you for overlooking our inadequacies, for giving us not only a life but a purpose to live. You forgave us so that we can now forgive. You called us to serve you and equip us with your most magnificent Spirit. Lead us, Lord, into the things you would have us to do as individuals and your church, even in this congregation in a suburb called Paradise. Amen.